These Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings in the fall, I want to spend some time looking at some major themes in the book of Proverbs. I'm actually going to share with you some messages that I shared in 2003. You guys can't remember what you had for lunch, so I'm not too worried about sharing material with you that I shared in 2003. How many of you were here in 2003? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. I know you guys can't remember. I know you. No, that Hannah material takes quite a bit of time. And so I've been wanting to get back to some of these practical themes in Proverbs anyway, and I thought this fall would be a good time to do that. And in my notes, I had the clipping of a story that was in the newspaper back in 2003 as we were preparing for the Billy Graham crusade. Remember 2003, we had Billy Graham here in town. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. And there was a story in the paper about the Humphreys family. A lot of you know, knew Jack Humphreys and know maybe some of his sons. And in this publicity, this story leading up to the 2003 Billy Graham mission, there was this story about the Humphreys family and the 1956 Billy Graham crusade that was here in town. In 1956, Jack Humphreys was already a businessman that was fairly well known, and he was a churchgoer and respected in a lot of ways. In fact, he was enough of a churchgoer that he volunteered to be an usher in the 1956 Graham mission. And in this article, Jack Graham says, "I was a Christian, but I had programmed God out of my life. I was so busy trying to make money." He was a Christian, he was a church member, he was respected by many. And what his son, his young son at the time, Kirk, remembers is that he had a short temper, he says in this story. Well, I want to talk this evening from Proverbs about how to temper your tantrums. The book of Proverbs has a lot of wisdom for us about relationships. We spoke about this a couple of Wednesday evenings ago. In fact, there are characters, almost like cartoon characters in the book of Proverbs. There's the fool and the sage and the wayward woman and the crooked businessman. And one of the common characters in the book of Proverbs is the hothead, the man who cannot control his own spirit. And we find wisdom for our anger in the book of Proverbs. When's the last time you really lost your temper? Blew your stack? Maybe it was with a family member, or with your boss, in your business, at a ball game. Maybe it was at a stoplight. We all have our moments of weakness. I know I better guard my temper anytime I'm working with technology and it promises me that I can do it in a few easy steps. Right? Batten down the hatches. Anger is not always bad. Anger in and of itself is not sin. In fact, I read one time Martin Luther said, "I never work better than when I am inspired by anger. When I'm angry, I can write, preach, and pray well. For then my whole temperament is quickened, my understanding sharpened, my mundane vexations and temperaments and temptations depart." Aristotle said, "Anyone can become angry. But to become angry with the right person, for the right purpose, to the right degree, at the right time, and in the right way, is not easy." Anger is not always bad, but anger is always dangerous. It's really what the book of Proverbs has to teach us. In fact, you ever notice the similarity in our English words, anger and danger? Just one little word difference. because I always walk very closely together. Look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. And again, this is a major theme in Proverbs. It's hard actually to read a page in the book of Proverbs and not see something about anger. So I'm just going to kind of give you a flavor here. But Proverbs 25, 28, for example, says, like a city that is broken into without walls is a man who has no control over his own spirit. His spirit, his temperament. This is a proverb that could apply to impatience or someone who's easily discouraged. It certainly applies to a man or a woman who cannot control their temper. Like a city that is broken into without walls, defenseless, vulnerable, exposed for attack, is a person who cannot control his own spirit. You don't have to read very far in the Bible to find proof that anger is a danger. In fact, in my copy of Scripture here, it's on page 4. Story of Cain and Abel. Remember, Cain's problem in the words of Scripture is that he was very angry. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Cain, why are you angry? Sin is crouching at your door. I have to think that the Apostle Paul had that foundational Bible story in mind when he wrote Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And so, one of the truths that we find in Scripture, and particularly in the book of Proverbs, is that anger is dangerous. And it's one of the forces in our lives that causes relationships to rupture. And so let's look at some practical truth here about how to temper our tantrums. First, take responsibility for your anger. You take responsibility for your anger. Proverbs 29:11 is a text that says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Now notice, we oftentimes want to pretend that our anger is beyond us, that we're somehow not responsible. But the wise man assumes that we can control ourselves. The fool always loses his temper. The language lose temper is literally lets his spirit go. Lets his mind go, you could even say. Loses his temper. But to hold it back is a word that speaks to calm it, like a sea being calmed or a storm being calmed. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man calms it, holds it back. And this is a proverb that assumes that we're responsible for how we respond to the realities around us. We're responsible for our anger. Yet, we often say things like this. That woman drives me crazy. Or, these kids are pushing me over the edge. Or, you make me so mad. And you see what all those statements have in common? It's someone else's fault. I'm not responsible for my anger. It's that woman. It's those kids. It's you. You make me angry. It's blaming you for my anger. And that's the devil's lie. The wisdom of Proverbs teaches us that that step one in many ways is to understand that we can take responsibility for our own anger. The fallacy is that Others are active and we are passive. Somehow others are guilty and we're the victim, which is oftentimes a pattern for the hothead. You are responsible. You take responsibility. But by the way, Proverbs 29:11, look at it again. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. There's another more general truth about wisdom here in this text that I want you to see. In the biblical concept of wisdom, wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom is not about knowing stuff. Wisdom is about doing. Wisdom is not about being smart or having insight. Wisdom is about how we live our lives, what we do, our patterns of behavior. The fool always loses a temper. The wise man holds it back. Take responsibility for your anger. Number two, take your anger seriously. Don't dismiss it lightly, casually. Oh, that's just me. That's, you know how I am. Take your anger seriously. Stay right there in the same chapter, 29, and look at verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. Transgressions abound. That's a powerful combination of words, isn't it? Transgressions are abounding when somebody is a hot-tempered person. This imagery, like a powder keg, like we're going to explode, like somebody just goes off. All of that is imagery that's rooted here in the Scripture. And it's the idea that anger is dangerous, that we need to take it seriously, that we need to be careful with our own anger, because anger hurts people. Sometimes anger causes us to be aggressive. Sometimes we're passive aggressive. But anger is always attacking people. It destroys relationships. I came across this letter in Dear Abby. Dear Abby, my husband Pete is a religious man. He also has a violent temper. He has beaten me up several times. The first two I took no legal action, although I did wind up in the hospital the second time. He says he wants to make a go of our marriage, but I'm afraid he'll beat me up again if he gets mad. Now that's an extreme example, obviously. But if we don't learn to temper our tantrums, then it's like burying some dynamite under our bed. It carries with it danger. Don't underestimate the power of danger. Remember, transgressions abound where there is anger. And finally, the Bible teaches us to take our anger to Jesus. The truth is that something as simple and common to our experience as anger is one of those realities of our heart and life that drive us to Jesus. Similar to, remember what the Bible says about our tongues. You can't control your tongues. What kind of game are you playing pretending that you got life under control? You can't control your anger. You're that weak, that vulnerable, that exposed. What more do you need to demonstrate how desperately you need Jesus? Remember, the Bible teaches us that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh, and that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You know, there's a major market in our country today for anger management specialists. Right? You get convicted of road rage or spousal abuse or workplace aggression, then chances are you're going to be sent to some sort of anger management professional. And they have a place. But the root of our anger, like the root of all sin, goes to the very heart. It's our hearts. Remember, Jesus says, listen, it's not what's going on around you or what comes from the outside in that's your problem. The problem starts on the inside. Out of your heart proceeds all of this junk. I'm reminded what James, the brother of our Lord Jesus, says in James chapter 5. And we don't have this on the screens. You just listen or follow along if you'd like. I'm sorry, not James 5, but James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior. You see that? Same thing as Proverbs. James says, don't talk to me about your wisdom. Show it through your good behavior. His deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Hey, you guys are good. I'll just read it with you. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. See the heart? This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly and natural and demonic. Keep going. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable. That's a beautiful New Testament word, reasonable. It means willing to yield. Reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James is more like the book of Proverbs than any other place in the New Testament. And we see so much of what the Old Testament book of Proverbs says about anger and a spirit of gentleness here in James. But the main thing I wanted you to see there is how James places anger in the heart of man. And only Jesus can change the heart. Right? In many ways, we never master anger by focusing on our anger. We get on top of things like anger by focusing on the blessed Lord Jesus. And when His Holy Spirit controls us, then He changes us. So let me finish the Humphrey story. During the 1956 crusade, Jack Humphreys was an usher. He was working. He was a respectable churchgoer, but he was far from the Lord. And during that crusade, the Lord changed his heart. And his son Kirk was 6 years old at the time, who later became mayor of our city. And many of you know Kirk. And Kirk says he remembers a few weeks after the crusade coming to breakfast and asking his mother, why doesn't Dad yell at us in the mornings anymore? That's a great testimony of the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, and we confess that we are weak and that oftentimes our hearts are filled with pettiness and fear and jealousies that come to the surface as anger. We confess that sometimes our hearts are dark, not pure, that we're weak and not strong, that we're far from the people that you want us to be. I pray, Father, that by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit within, the life-changing work and grace of Jesus, that you would help us to walk in the Spirit and not live out the desires of the flesh. That the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace and joy and self-control, would mark us. Father, that we would not be a people prone toward anger, but that we would demonstrate that godly wisdom that James describes, marked by gentleness and self-control and kindness. Protect us, Father. Guard us from this destructive influence of anger. Let's continue with heads bowed for a moment. We're going to have a time of response here this evening. And during this response, the altar is open for prayer. Maybe not about this issue in particular. Maybe you have some prayer need in your life, your family, someone you want to pray for, some yielding, some submission that needs to take place. We enter now into a time of prayer as we have this invitation. Some of you may want to come and join our church or make a public response, as if this invitation is your opportunity to do that. The altar's open now. You come as we stand and sing.